Welcome, everyone. You're listening to Horizontes, Latin America's leadership forum. Our focus is on developing business leadership in the Americas. That is, the skills and topics that leaders need to succeed. Horizontes is brought to you by America's Market Intelligence, the leading market consultancy for Latin America. Today, I'm pleased to share with you an interview led by my colleague and the head of our energy practice at AMI, Arthur Deakin. What follows is an insightful interview with Aurelio Oliveira, the CEO of Enel Americas. Enel is the 90th largest company in the world, the Italian behemoth power generator and distributor. Today, Enel is the world's largest private sector player in the renewable energy generation market, having reached over 60 gigawatts of renewable capacity, including storage systems. In some countries, the transition to a greater reliance on renewable energy has become politicized and laden with misinformation. Contrary to popular belief, South America's electricity generation is some of the cleanest in the world, thanks to massive hydro projects built decades ago. But large hydro projects are politically and socially challenging to keep constructing. So today, renewable energy projects in Latin America are focused on solar and wind. That is where this conversation is focused, on demystifying the opportunities and challenges of energy transition in Latin America. Without further ado, please enjoy this fascinating conversation with the renewable industry's leading private sector player in Latin America, Enel, led by its regional CEO, Aurelio Oliveira, and one of the region's leading renewable energy sector experts, Arthur Deakin of America's Market Intelligence.
We hope you're enjoying this latest edition of the Horizontes Leadership Podcasts, a series of conversations designed to inform, instruct, and inspire Latin American business leaders. Entrepreneurs, politicians, business magnates, inventors, authors, subject matter experts, financiers, and cultural icons from across Latin America are among our guests. We hope you find these podcasts as compelling to listen to as we find them interesting to produce. If you wish to also receive our curated reading list of the latest articles, white papers, and interviews we circulate each week, write to us at horizontes@americasme.com. That's Horizontes at americasme.com. And now, back to the Horizontes podcast.
Hey, good afternoon, Aurelio. Thank you very much for joining us today. We are really excited to have you. For those of you who don't know, Aurelio Oliveira is the CEO of Enel Americas, one of the biggest energy companies in the world. And he is based in Santiago, Chile. Aurelio's had a very long and successful career in the Enel Group. He joined in 1999, if I'm not mistaken, and then moved up through the ranks as CFO of different Enel subsidiaries in the Colombia and Brazil until becoming CFO of the regional entity Enel Americas in 2018, and then moving to the CEO position last year. So just to get started, Aurelio, you know, looking back into your career, you worked initially for nearly 10 years at Rexam, a consumer packaging company, and then SC Johnson for a couple of years. What made you go into the energy sector back in the late 90s? And what are you most proud of having achieved, other than being the CEO of this great company?
Well, Arthur, thank you so much for the invitation. It's a pleasure to be with you. Yes, you described it very well. I am 25 years working in the power sector, in the energy sector. First Endesa, then Enel, with the evolution of the group. I moved to the electric sector. I started in the in the manufacturing sector, nothing to do with the energy sector, power sector. And what makes me do to this this transition is the privatization process that started, especially in the region, in Brazil, not only in the region, in the 90s and in the last period of the 90s. So I started to think and thinking that could make sense to understand more and to be more related into this industry, into this sector. So I moved from SC Johnson to Endesa at that time. I mean, it's been 25 years, but lots of activities, lots of projects. I started with a generation business in Brazil. We started with a project finance with the interconnection between Brazil and Argentina, which was an amazing process. Then we had a rationing in Brazil beginning of the 2000. So lots of projects, thermal plants, then renewables and distribution business, different monsters, different business. Lots of new things. I learned a lot. I've been learning a lot during this year, lots of transformation. And it's been, for me, making me thinking in this movement, which is, it made a lot of sense, this transition. That's more or less like this.
And what would you say you are most proud of in these past 25 years? Is there any specific project you worked on, or any specific role, or yeah, it could be something specific or more broadly, anything that comes to mind?
More broadly, what makes me very proud to be part of is the especially in the beginning, that we are not so many people, so we created a small team, and then we started to work together and grow together. It's it gives me lots of pride to be part of this improvement. Today, you see, Enel in Latin America is a huge group, a huge company worldwide, but I mean in Latin America especially. But we started, for example, with the interconnection with five people, and we got a project finance with IDB. We did a lot of operations in terms of imports, in terms of taxes, in terms of implementation, integration of teams. So this evolution, seeing that when we were a small group of people, but very, very good people and very good team, and we grow together, doing lots of things, and see how we were growing. This makes me gives me lots of pride to be part of this.
Absolutely, journey. Yeah. No, I'm sure Enel has transformed the lives of those five people and many other people. Just to give the audience some stats, Enel's distribution companies now service around 23 million people across the region. It has more than 14 gigawatts of installed generation capacity, and 90% of that is renewable energy. So the company is clearly at the forefront of the energy transition and supplying clean electricity to over 20 million people in the region. So very, very impressive. Just looking into the sector itself, you know, there's so many different technologies and factors that influence the sector on a daily basis. For you, what are the major opportunities you're seeing in Latin America when it comes to the energy sector? And what is Enel doing to capitalize on those opportunities? Mm-hmm.
We are in the, I think, Latin America, we are in a privileged position for this energy transition, right? We have a clean metrics, matrix, if you see, it's a complement for the world generation matrix in terms of renewable. I mean, we have a major renewable matrix. People in Latin America, the people lives in big cities, right? In the big capitals and mega cities of Latin America. And we have also the, especially for the commodities, we have we are in a region that we have everything here. I mean, we have lithium, we have copper, we have the great what we need for the energy transition. We have it here. So we are, I think, and especially in this geopolitical situation that we see in the worldwide, Latin America, we are, we can, I mean, we can complement, and certainly we can be a very good, we are in a very good position in terms of supply for United States, for Europe, and for China, for Asia. I mean, we are, we need, what we need right now is to take this opportunity and to create value and perpetual value for our region. We have lots of inequalities, as you know. We have issues related to informality and so on. So we need to capture this moment, to seize this moment, and create value, right, for sustainable value for our people. I mean, for our countries.
Yeah,
and take this advantage. You see, for example, in Mexico, for example, no, the near shoring. So examples like this, I mean, this is something that we need to capture, but not with the old logical of, I mean, selling commodities, just selling commodities, and not creating value here in the region. So
yeah,
that's why with the energy transition, I think it's an important pillar, an important tool to mm-hmm. capture this value and transform it in a sustainable way. If you see in the talking more specifically for the opportunity, we see that the generation business, the renewable generation business, the transmission, we have big issues related to transmission in mm-hmm. Colombia, in Brazil, in Chile. So lots of opportunities for new investments and capture value. And last but not least, the consumption part. We have huge gaps in terms of investments, not only in energy, but infrastructure in general. So we need to capture this and improve the productivity, especially the productivity of our region.
The Horizontes Leadership Forum is brought to you by Americas Market Intelligence, the region's leading consultancy and advisory firm, serving companies operating in Latin America and Caribbean markets for over 3 decades. AMI's vast network of consultants located in every major market in the Americas gather vital market intelligence from privileged sources that our industry practice leaders turn into insightful analysis to help our clients, some of the largest investors in Latin America, make vital business decisions. Before you decide to invest, launch a product, choose a partner, enter a market, or acquire a business, make sure your decision is an informed one. Find us at americasmi.com. That's AmericasMI.com. And now, back to the Horizontes podcast.
I think Latin America has this advantage of a very clean generation matrix, and hydropower is obviously a big part of that. But at the same time, when we exclude hydropower from the picture, the renewable, purely solar and wind penetration in most of Latin American countries is still quite significantly lower than you would see in a developed market like the US or Europe or China, for example, where, you know, transportation in specific is a sector that comes to mind, where Latin America is having a very hard time decarbonizing, right? Because the costs of electric vehicles are very high. there's import tariffs, there's not enough charging infrastructure, et cetera, et cetera. How do emerging markets, emerging regions like Latin America balance this need to decarbonize and reduce emissions at the same time improving the quality of life of their people? You know, we see this a lot in India, for example, massive push for renewables, but there's also, which makes sense, a priority to improve the quality of life of people. How do you balance these two when thinking about Latin America in specific?
Yeah. You see, you told it, you described it very well. We have a major matrix with that, hydro power, right? And of course, the signals that we have in Latin America of hydro season, dry season, I mean, the prices that we can, we see lots of volatility,
yeah,
right? And this is this influence, we cannot deny, this influence a lot the level of pricing that we get for example, for a PPA, no? And this is an important part to turn a project, a renewable project, into reality. Mm-hmm. So, but I mean, this is very cyclical, right? This is cyclical. What we see today is that we started with lots of subsidies, right? In the to turn into reality the renewables, non-conventional, no. Then we move into a more market logical. We started with auctions, we move it into air auctions and free market. Now we are totally or more into free market. So which is very good. Which is seeing that a project can be profitable by itself. So of course we need to the evolution of this market. Right? We see a big evolution in terms of free market, especially in Brazil. Mm-hmm. Right. So what I see is that with this evolution, we'll have a huge quantity of energy from one side, probably with lower margin, but a huge quantity of energy. And this could could accelerate the renewable energy in the medium term, right? Renewable energy is the cheapest one, right? It's for our region. So it will, no doubt about it, that will it will move forward with this condition. Mm-hmm. Again, the volatility in influence. If you see today, for example, in Brazil, we have a very, a very good hydro condition, so the prices are low. But you see that this can change in a year, for example, yes. And this could bring it to the increase, could increase and appear the opportunity. But this is not the main driver. I think the main driver of this is the market liberalization, right? And this window of the opportunity. We have very good projects from companies, other competitors. I mean, with these improvements of these conditions, I think I don't have doubts that will accelerate the development of renewable.
Understood. So it's a lot about market liberalization and increasing overall supply at lower costs, it seems.
Yes.
And I think I read this today or yesterday that Brazil imported the least amount of gas this year or last year since 2009 because of very high hydro reservoirs, right? Which is obviously a very good sign, but it's also very dependent on something that we can't control, which is the weather, right? One thing that we sort of can control are interest rates, right? How is the region being impacted by this new high interest rates policy that's ongoing worldwide? Because we hear a lot from developers and investors that the returns in Latin America are not attractive enough relative to risk. So they're focusing more on the US where there's subsidies, there's IRA, et cetera. How are you seeing Latin America in relation to receiving investment when it comes to an era of high interest rates?
Well, it's impacting a lot and impacting everybody. I mean, it's been tough to the capital, the cost of capital. No, it's been difficult to approve and to reach the profitability of a new project. No, and that's why, of course, everybody is delaying a little bit the decision of investments. But I'm confident that it's a cyclical, right? And we'll see this reduction. Probably in Brazil is accelerating more this process, but still we have a real interest rate very high. This is what's important here is to have a very good pipeline of projects, very good and very agile approach in terms of contracting energy. And since we have this better condition in terms of interest rates, we'll put approve the project to put in the operation the next 2 years or next 1 year, depending on the maturity of the project. But it's impacting a lot. It's been difficult. I mean, the PPA, the prices of energy, the first one, no? The interest rates, the second, no? All the of course, the costs, the inflation, and so on. Also, other things that it's been difficult. It's the bureaucracy for approving the project is something that's affecting a little bit more in some countries, no? And countries are addressing these policymakers. They are addressing this. We saw in Chile a recent legislation. But I mean, these elements turning into a difficult scenario for new project. But as I'm confident that really believe that it's cyclical, and since we have a better conditions, you see an acceleration of this investment. And the last but not least, the growth of the region, no? Because you see the region we see some in some cases some instability. But at the end of the day, the institutions here are working very well. Mm-hmm. In Brazil, we saw the democracy, and in Colombia, in Chile, I mean, the countries, it doesn't depend on the orientation, political orientation, but we see that there are checks and balances in the countries that are working for a medium and long-term view. Of course, we are not Europe, or we are not in that level or United States. But I think if we see our past situations, we are improving a lot in this front of institutionality. Lots of challenges ahead, no doubt about it. But we see that we are, as a region, improving and working well.
The Horizontes Leadership Forum is brought to you by America's Market Intelligence. Each year, AMI's most senior practice leaders, led by your podcast host, John Price, are invited by over 50 conference, seminar, and private business meeting organizers to provide their insights, predictions, and opinions concerning the most pressing business trends and challenges of the day in the Americas. To learn more about how your next regional planning meeting or conference can be enhanced by a presentation from AMI's leadership team, visit us at americasmi.com. That's americasmi.com. And now, back to the Horizontes podcast.
I think it's a lot of interesting points there. Permitting is a huge issue, right? We've been helping the IDB with some permitting work, helping them advise governments. And the average permitting times you see, for example, in Colombia is can be from 4 to 6 years for a solar project, even higher for a wind project, if it ever makes it off the ground, right? So countries with much lower permitting times in Central America, for example, El Salvador, Dominican Republic, Panama, are getting a lot more developer attention lately. We're even hearing developers, you know, since the interest rates are so high, they're focusing a lot on going from greenfield to ready to build. Once the interest rates lower, they'll build, which seems like it's a similar approach that Enel is focusing on. So other than permitting, other than high interest rates, other than weather being an unpredictable factor, is there any other major threats to Enel's business models, business model? And if so, how, what are you doing to address that threat?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a very good question. There are some points that we've seen today that some issues that as a society and companies, I mean, and governments, communities, we need to face that we are seeing more and more environmental events, events that we've never seen in the past. And all of us that deal with infrastructure, not only electric power sector, but also roads, cities, water, and so on, they are related to extreme events that we are seeing today. This is a very important point that we need to discuss again, no? Governments, policymakers, society, planners, companies, in order to address what are the infrastructure that we want, that communities and society wants, to in order to face this, because this is a reality. Mm-hmm. Climate change is affecting, we deal with this. We saw issues in São Paulo, winds with more than 100 kilometers per hour. Mm-hmm. We've never seen this. Our grids, for you to have an example, we are prepared for 60 kilometers per hour, but never 100 kilometers per hour. We see recently problems of high temperature in, last year in Buenos Aires, this year, this week in Chile. Again, not entering in the specific situations, but we see that something changed a lot our reality, and we that deal with infrastructure and society, we need to discuss this. What are the points and what we want to do and what we want, to propose in order to face this new reality. This is one important point. I mean, the cost, the roof cost comes to all the efforts that we are doing with the decarbonization and so on, because it's a reality. We are addressing this, and we need to accelerate. But not only this. Also in the distribution business, in our case, we see an exposure to these extreme events that will give very, and it will not stop. Yeah. We see also in that you are from the south of Brazil. You see in the south of Brazil with what happens with also with this wind and this problem with the climate. So this is in general. This is will affect everybody. So this is a large discussion that we as Enel, we want to promote this, and we want to give voice on this. Not only looking for our side, but also seeing the forest. I mean, seeing the operation, we see that this is a reality. It will keep on impacting the reality of the people in the cities, in the countryside, and this is something important.
Definitely.
Other thing that we need to evaluate, link it to this, but not only, is the regulation. I mean, in some countries, we need to evolve to an evolution of regulation, right? Mm-hmm. Some regulation incentives, they are from the past, and it's not the reality. I mean, people want to produce their own energy. Mm-hmm. And, I think, yeah.
And how, because, you know, people want to produce their own energy. That's definitely a major trend. And a lot of it is rooftop solar. And in some countries, you know, there's discounts. You don't have to pay certain fees to the distribution companies. How is that impacting you guys, especially in a country like Brazil, where I think there's, you know, 17 gigawatts maybe of distributed generation, a very high number.
Yeah. This is, this is an alternative, and there's no return on this. And I think we as Enel, what we need, not only Enel, but distribution in general, we need, in general, we need to assure that the platform is huge and resilient in a way that we can absorb the best alternatives in terms of prosumer, in terms of energy production, in terms of free market. I mean, we need to prepare this, and the regulation should focus on this, right? Mm-hmm. Focus on this, and not, I mean, this is a huge transformation that we need to address, right? The subsidies issues, I think it's not correct, because we are charging for the poor people to give benefit to the rich. I mean, it's not correct. I mean, this taxation of the sun, you know, slogan that you know very well, that in Brazil we heard this issue. It's not a taxation, is that you give the money for the rich, that they have the money to install panel in their roof. But for the poor people, that they do not have the money to pay for this. And this is not correct. No? This is an incentive, an opposite. Opposite incentive.
Yeah, and just being conscious of time here, what kind of legacy would you like to leave for the Enel Group once you're no longer working there? Is there a specific legacy or specific objective you have in mind?
Sure. Especially helping to develop our people, right? And as an example, as learning with them, working with them, and I would like to be remembered, you know, this way, you know, to be someone part of the team that we build together and we learn together, and we had lots of fun together. And that's why I want to be remembered in my legacy. This journey.
I think that's what most of us want at the end of the day, right? To be able to leave an impact, but also make friendships along the way, help people along the way. And I think that's what it's all about. And just my final question here, would you recommend the energy sector for younger professionals? Because there might be some younger professionals watching this. And if so, is there any specific part of the energy sector you would recommend them to go into? Because there are so, as you know, there's so many different options, so many different parts of the value chain. What are your thoughts on that?
I definitely recommend especially in this moment of this transition, this huge transition. It doesn't matter where, if you are in the distribution, in the generation, in the transmission, in the commercialization, the trading. I mean, each part, it's amazing to be part, but especially the moment, and especially analyzing how energy transformed the life of people, and consider these people as not as consumers, as clients, as a vehicle of transformation for their lives. Mm-hmm. So when you have this broad view with sustainability in all its impact, not only the sustainability for the climate, not only sustainability for social, but all of this, and especially sustainability in terms of finance, you know, because if it's not sustainable financially speaking, it's forget the other parts and the huge transformation that the energy transition, the electric sector, the power sector can bring to our communities, to our people.
Thank you for joining us for another Horizontes podcast, where we discuss key topics and challenges facing Latin American business leaders, featuring expert guests from a variety of fields and backgrounds. Horizontes is brought to you by Americas Market Intelligence, the leading Latin American market intelligence consultancy. We gather the research, conduct the analysis, and form the recommendations in the bespoke fashion that companies require to make wise business decisions in Latin American and Caribbean markets. You can find Horizontes on all major podcast directories like Apple, Amazon, Spotify, and more. Or you can visit our website, americasmi.com, and look for Horizontes under the Thought Leadership menu.